Hey, I just want you to know I'm glad you're here. Look at somebody next to you and say, I'm glad you're here. Yeah. Karen just said to Tom, I'm glad you're here, because she'd have had to drive otherwise. Or did you drive anyway? Sometimes she drives and Tom just rides along. I don't know about your man card on that one, Tom, but okay. Made him laugh. You know, the last couple of times that I've spoken, it's been interesting because just the Lord has really put on my heart this year, at the beginning of this year, about how important it is that you realize that each one of you is as called, every bit as called, and just as important in your calling as I am in my calling. It's a mistake that's been made by much of the church, and I could go into the details of it, but I won't do that again because I did it the first sermon of the year. And a little bit. There's way more I could say. And then there's the whole, you know, idea of stewarding that which is our calling and stewarding the ministry that God has given us. And every one of us has been given a ministry. And at some point, I may have a message that I'm working on. I don't know. Pieces aren't all there yet. About the joy of ministry, because I don't think there's anything that you can do that'll make you happier than what you were put on this earth to do. And everything you were put on this earth to do is a ministry. Everything you were put on earth to do is a ministry. I was ministering to my family a bunch this week. I was doing things for my wife. She felt very ministered to by the things that I did. I made some food. Woo! A man that cooks? Yeah, occasionally I make stuff. Found out I make these wonderful little cheese crackers made of real cheese. And they're so good. And I'm allowed to have them on that crazy diet that I'm doing. So it's just good. And, you know, just there's all sorts of things. And the thing is, I've become more aware. It's really interesting. Just this year, I've become more aware of the reality that everything I do is ministry. Or at least it can be if I will do it as unto the Lord. It can be. So I took my cars in for oil changes this week. Woohoo! Went to Auto Servant. Little plug for them. They're good people. You know, that was ministry. My wife doesn't want to have to do that. By the way, I'm going to mess up the life of several men here, but my wife does not pump gas. It's my ministry. I pump gas. I do that. Do you? Yeah, I got a couple of you guys. Yeah, I pump gas. That's my ministry. That's my part of the ministry. And I don't clean toilets. No, I actually have. Had to change a dirty diaper this week. Ministering to my granddaughter. Oh, I know, I'm not going to go there. I could say so. Woo! How can a little girl do something that big? That's what I want to say. Just, wow! But I was ministering. I was ministering. Because I recognized that I was doing it and that the Lord was pleased with me doing that because it needed to be done. It showed my love and my compassion for my granddaughter. Are you getting this? So I've been talking about ministry, and I've been talking about stewarding the ministry that you have. And then today, well, last week, by the way, we had four people get up and minister to us. Wasn't that good? It was good. I got my notes right here. I got notes. I took notes. It was good. And not everybody has to get up behind a pulpit, but everybody has the gift to preach. And it's interesting because in the Greek language, this is in my notes today, but hey, it's free. In the Greek language, there are actually more than one Greek word that's translated preach. Yeah, and not all of you are going to be called to stand in front of a great crowd and belt something out. But all of you are called to preach in the sense that you're given something that you have that you can share that God has done for you, in you, through you, to you. And all of that ties into what I want to talk about today, which is the testimony. Because the ministry of the testimony is probably one of the most wonderful things that you can find yourself getting good at. Like every one of us has a testimony. And you know who needs to hear your testimonies more than anybody else? Take a guess. Did anybody say, I need to hear my testimonies more than anybody else? Yeah. Sometimes you do. Sometimes you need to rehearse what God has done You need to remember. You need to speak it. And I'm going to show that to you in the scripture. So, Deuteronomy, get there. No, excuse me. Go to Psalm 119. I'll go to Deuteronomy without you. Just go to Psalm 119. That'll be easier. And I'm going to go to Deuteronomy and get in your Bibles and maybe get a pen out, or if you've got an app, you know, I hope you've learned to highlight. I love the apps, by the way. They're really, I can highlight my apps, you know, and just highlight verses. And then when I go back and read it again using that app, I see stuff that I highlighted the last time. And I'm really picky. Like, I used to like to underline stuff in my Bible, but I always wanted to have a ruler. Any of you like that? Oh, wasn't perfectly straight. You want it perfectly? Okay. So once you be ready in Deuteronomy, in Psalm 119. I'm going to go to Deuteronomy 6 and verse 17 if you're taking notes. You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, his testimonies and his statutes, which he has commanded you. Most of us grew up in church. Not all of us in this room grew up in church, but a lot of us did. A lot of people who didn't even grow up in church know that you're supposed to keep the commandments. You better keep those commandments. You people, right? You, I'm talking, you, yes, you, keep that commandment. That's kind of the way we think about it sometimes. But it's interesting that this verse doesn't say just to keep the commandments. It says to keep the testimonies. Well, when I'm keeping the commandments, it's because I'm not doing the things I want to do. I mean that I'm not supposed to do. But what is keeping the commandments? Keep the commandments, the testimonies, and his statutes. Wow. And the word keep in this verse literally means to watch, to preserve, to observe. It's used for watchmen in the Old Testament sometimes. And to protect. When we keep something, we hang on to it, and we look at its value, and we give it value. I think sometimes we've given some testimonies, and we feel like we've given them too often. This morning, I did communion, and what did I do? I took a minute and I gave the testimony about the girl here in the back who had the headache, and it was running down her neck. And part of me was like, oh yeah, you've told that a million times. You don't need to tell that again. And part of me was like, whatever voice that is, you can go to the HE double hockey sticks place. Because it's worth telling again. Because it might be only one person in the room who might hear that testimony, but it speaks something to them. And that's why we want to keep our testimonies. In fact, I'm a little embarrassed to admit this, but there's been times when I went through an older message. A lot of times I'll look at my messages that I preached in the past before I preach it again. Just to make sure I'm not forgetting an important thing. And I'll see something where I've written down, tell them about so-and-so as a testimony. And my mind is just completely blank. God did something and I know it was with, but I don't, oh, why did, what was that? I got to tell you the truth. I think God's done way more than I can remember. I've been a Christian since I was 14 years old. It's going to be 54 years next month since I got fired up and entered my ministry without anybody telling me I was entering my ministry. And I've seen God do so many things that I've forgotten some of them. And that bothers me when I preach this message today, because I was supposed to keep those, right? I was supposed to keep them. If you're young, I want to encourage you. I'm going to start now. I'm still young. I'm going to live to 180. So I need to start writing down the details of the things that I've seen God do. You know, like Thursday when God helped me change a diaper. I probably didn't write that down. Well, he helped. I can testify. I used to be really bad at that. I used to, I've gotten over it. So, you know, God does so much. Really, I don't think, I don't think he really expects us to be able to keep them all. Because he's doing way more than we realize. And if you are doing ministry every week, if you will recognize that you did ministry every week, if you will try to look for opportunities to do ministry every week, if you'll realize that, yes, pumping gas for you. I will never forget that testimony. I pumped all the gas for my wife for all of the years we've been married. Yes! It's my testimony. I'll have to write that one down. I keep that one. I poke her with it once in a while, but she's in the back today, so she can't stop me. Anyway, otherwise I'd be seeing a frown right up here. I'd say, turn your frown upside down. No, anyway, there are so many things that God's done for us and so many things that we ought to be able to testify about. It's powerful. And we need to keep these things in our thinking and protect them and observe them and preserve them. All those things are in that word keep. And all of these words, again, are connected to the idea of something having value. That's the biggest thing. Do we value what God's done for us? Because I'll tell you what, the more we value it, the more powerful it becomes in our lives. And when we don't value it, we lose the power of God in our life that we might need at any given moment. So, commandments show us how to live. Statutes show us how to think. There's another thing. Sometimes you need the word of God to help you understand how to think, because you want to think it one way, and that's not how God wants you to think. But commandments show us how to live. Statutes show us how to think. Testimonies show us what to expect. A testimony reveals God's acts, which in turn reveals his ways. That's a quote by Bill Johnson. One of my favorite quotes of his. And it's in the book called The Essential Guide to Healing. So the original Hebrew word for testimony in the Old Testament actually is also connected to the idea and the thought to do again. To do again. When I know what God's done for me, I know that he'll do it again. I know that he can do it again. I know that he wants to do it again. If he was willing to do it then, he'll do it again. When I know what God did for Beth, and she tells us what God did for her, sometimes that affects all of us. And we think, oh, God did that for her. He can do that for me. When I know what he did for Joel, when I know what he did for Marlene, when I know, I could start just, you all have testimonies. And they all need to be kept, valued. Revelation 19:10, we've quoted this a lot over the years, but I'll read it to you. And we will get to Psalm 119, I haven't forgotten. Verse 9, let's just get a little context. Revelation 19, verse 9. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, see that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant. This was an angel that was telling him this. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So we learn from this verse that when we share a testimony, not only does it tell what God has done, but it prophesies what God will do. It not only tells what God has done, but it prophesies what God will do. So this is very, very powerful. And by the way, what's prophecy? Well, again, sometimes people think it's, you know, some guy predicting the future. Well, in a sense, a testimony does predict what God wants to do. It speaks to what he's able to do and what he's going to do if we latch on it, hold it with. But in the New Testament, there's this one wonderful verse. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Prophecy is edification, exhortation, and comfort. So prophecy, edification to build up, exhortation to stir up, comfort to cheer up. Sometimes you're prophesying, sometimes you're giving a testimony, and you don't even know you're doing it. You're just encouraging the person you're with. You're just making them feel better. And if you will take your testimony when you see them going through something, especially if you've been through that thing, that's a God-ordained thing right there. You've been through that? That's a God-ordained thing. When you've been through that and they're going through that, you have a testimony about it. Yeah. It's a big deal, right? Huge deal. Very important. So your testimony creates an atmosphere that what God will do, he can find the atmosphere to do it again in your testimony. So Psalm 119, let's look at it together. Let's look at verse 24 for the first one. Psalm 119, verse 24. Your testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. I am delighted when people get up and give their testimony. I am delighted that they get a chance to share their testimony. God is delighted. And it should be our delight to do it. Why? Because we're telling them, we're setting the atmosphere with people that we're sharing that with for God to do something amazing. Setting the atmosphere. Wow. That's a big deal. And it's my delight. And the testimony is a counselor. Have you ever felt like you weren't giving good advice to someone, but you gave them the best advice you could, and then afterwards you were like, I don't know if I should even have given advice. I don't know if I have any advice. Advice. I don't even know if I've got good advice. Sometimes you don't know what to say, so you don't give any advice. That's probably wise sometimes, by the way. Yeah, you don't have anything good to say, don't say anything. But what if you had a testimony? Well, I know where you've been, and let me tell you, Jesus brought me out. I don't have a good way to tell you how to handle this, but I know that I was in a similar situation, and Jesus brought me out. And if they say, what did you do? Say, well, I did this, but it might not work for you the way it worked for me, but I can tell you this, whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus, and he can bring you out. And all of a sudden, you've given them way better advice than you planned on giving them. Our testimony is a trustworthy counselor because it sets an atmosphere. Psalm 119, verse 31, if you want to jump down to that. I cling to your testimonies. O Lord, do not put me to shame. We can confidently grab hold of what God's done and repeat it. Sometimes it's most important to repeat it, as I said earlier, to yourself. Sometimes I need to remember what he's done because I'm going through something again and I need to remember, yes, and this isn't the first time, especially with me. I just laugh at myself. Yes, stupid, this isn't the first time you've gone through this. And then I think, by the way, have you ever been in that spot where it was hard to think, hard to remember? I was just telling someone this just last night. It's funny how those things kind of line up sometimes. But some of you remember the name Chris Volatin. And Chris Volatin went through a dark, dark season. And this was several years ago. Some stuff was falling apart for his family, and he was having a hard time. And the Lord put it on his heart to remember what God had done for him. And he felt like he was supposed to write three things down. So he wrote three things down. And the next day, he read those three things. And then he felt like he needed to write three more. And the first day, it took him like an hour to find three things. Which is ridiculous because he's Chris Volatin, for crying out loud. I mean, he should have just watched some of his own tapes, some of his own videos, the testimonies that he's given, the things that got it done. But he was in such a dark place that he couldn't. So he finally got the first three down. It took him a long time. Then the next day it was a little faster. And then the next day it was a little faster. And then pretty soon he kept doing it, I believe, for a month. And next thing you know, he's having a hard time only writing three. Because of all the good things that God had done for him. Powerful. So we can trust God. And it's easier to trust God when we remember all that he's done. And it's easier for others to trust God when we share those testimonies of what he's done. Psalm 119, verse 36, incline my heart to your testimonies and not to covetousness. Wow, covetousness. How many of you this week you thought all about, yeah, boy, this has been a real week of covetousness for me. We don't even use that word, covetousness. What does that mean? Or you think, well, I want something that somebody else has got. Well, here's the thing. Do you know why we sometimes want something that someone else has got? Because we don't have a full understanding of how much we have. When I want what someone else has got, I'm proving to myself that I don't understand what he's given me. He's never given somebody else way more than you. Let me caveat that maybe he has given a couple of people way more than you, but you didn't want it because they had to handle it, and now you don't. There's times, trust me, when God gives people stuff and they become more accountable for more stuff. Okay? There's preachers that are in a church my size and they're going, I wish I was pastor of a 10,000 member church. No, you don't. No, you don't. Stop being stupid. Spirit of stupid on steroids. I know you people. I don't need 10,000 of you. Yeah. We all need to be happy with what God's given us. And when we see what he has given us, we stop comparing to what somebody else has because he's given us more than enough. He gives abundantly to all of us. And some of you are thinking, well, you haven't been in my shoes lately. You know, don't forget you're in America. You realize you're in the top, you're an American that makes you the top 10% of wealth in the entire world. Look it up. You can Google that. You'll find out. And then if you start actually looking at how much it takes, you might find yourself in the top 5%. Because it doesn't take a super wealthy American to be in the top 5%. You got so much. Just saying. So I don't want to be covetous. I don't want to be looking at what everybody else has got. I need to be looking at everything that he's done for me because he's done so much for me. And I have so much to be thankful for. And then when I have that attitude of gratitude and I'm looking at all that he's done for me, guess how easy it is for me to share that with someone else who needs it? And my ministry becomes empowered because it becomes a ministry of testimony. That's better than your response, but I'll just keep going. Psalm 119, verse 46. I will speak. Oh boy. Now he's asking me to open my mouth. Yes, I am. I will speak of your testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed. I don't care how big, how important, how esteemed anyone is anywhere. I need to be at a place where I know what God's done for me. And because I've kept his testimonies, I know what he's done for me, and it puts me in a position so that if I do become and find myself in a place where super important people, quote unquote, super important people are, I can speak up and share and minister more to them than I might even realize. There are a whole lot of people that are rich and they've got all sorts of stuff and they don't have peace and they don't have joy. And they don't have half of what many of you have. And they need Jesus. And our testimonies can open the door of favor with people of power. Sometimes we think of powerful people as just, you know, the people who push us around and tell us what to do. They are the decision makers, and we don't have a choice sometimes, and sometimes that's true. But what if you told them your testimony? And what if they started seeing through that testimony that you have something that they could use? It could be a help to them. And we just mentioned Joseph not too long ago, and there he was, just this dumb guy in jail in Egypt who happened to tell somebody a dream, and that dream took him before Pharaoh, and he became the most powerful person in the land. I can do all that I know to do to advise or teach someone, but I know there are limits to my understanding. There just are. I just don't have it all figured out. I do my best, but when I give the testimony, that has something on it. That has something on it. What did Revelation say? It's a prophecy. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. It has something on it that's beyond me. And so I don't do my best, I do his best when I testify about what he's done. And it can help others in a way that I can't help them with what's up here. In fact, I try not to depend on this too much because sometimes it doesn't work real well. If you don't believe that, ask my wife. She's testifying in the back right now. She's got her hand up, amen. She was out helping in children's church. Now she's back in the back. I just realized that a minute ago. I was talking about you while you were gone, I think. Oh, you heard it. So you were already there. Oh, well. No. She loves me. She hadn't put up with me all this time to get mad now. It's too late. Psalm 119, 111. Your testimonies have I taken as a heritage forever. For they are the rejoicing of my heart. The rejoicing of my heart. Maybe all of us need to exercise this. Start writing down all the things that God has done. I wonder what would happen to our mood. By the way, somebody asked me about that the other day. Do you know Jesus was never in a bad mood? Jesus didn't have moods. Depends on your definition of mood, maybe, but think about that, because sometimes we justify being all grumpy. Well, I have a right to feel this way. So-and-so said such and such. But anyway, back to where I was at here, sidetracked there. Your testimonies I have taken, Psalm 119, 111, your testimonies I have taken as a heritage forever, for they the rejoicing of my heart. It's your inheritance. Do you get that? Your testimonies are part of your inheritance. How many of you want to pass your testimonies down onto your kids? Well, yeah, you know, we try to do everything else right so that our kids get something when we're gone. Man, what if we valued our testimonies as much as we valued the house and the cars and the bank account and all the other stuff that we want to make sure that they have, because we want them to have a good life. They're not going to have nearly as good a life with your money as they are with your testimony. Your testimony is more valuable than your money. I need to write that down. That was good. I didn't even have it in my notes. Your testimony is very good. Testimony. I like that. Somebody write that down. When we share the testimonies of what God has done for us with others, they receive a benefit that they may not even realize they received. It may just be in that moment that what they heard in that moment got them through something, and they won't even remember what it was, but they got through. It can be a big deal. So we need testimonies in our life. We need them. And it's important to know that there are no little testimonies. You know, so far today, I haven't talked about anybody getting healed this week. I didn't have a waitress that I prophesied over or anything like that this week. But I had a lot of stuff that I had to do, and I was doing it unto the Lord. Again, this week, I was on with a couple of people who had to walk me through some stuff, you know, customer service people, and I just loved on them all I could. especially after I blew it with one last week. Remember, I told you I blew it. I was so upbeat with everybody and had so much. I actually had fun. In fact, I've discovered that I can be fun for the person on the other end. How many of you think that customer service people who call in, that people call when they've got a problem with their internet or this or that or the other, how many think they have a lot of fun in their job? Oh, I can't wait for this person to call me up and complain. I don't understand what you're saying. Stop. You can't figure this out. Come to my house and fix it. And they can't. I just had fun with them this week. That's my testimony. I'm getting a lot of opportunities to talk to people and just mention some little thing and bless them, speak a blessing over them. It's kind of fun. Oh, wait a minute. For the testimony is the rejoicing of my heart. Did I just read that? It's kind of fun. Psalm 119, 144, the righteousness of your testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding and I shall live. Those testimonies are going to go on and on and on and on and on. Then they're going to go on in heaven. Be a shame for me to let something stay in heaven that's permanent when I could have it here on the earth and I'm not taking advantage of it. It's like having money in your bank account and walking around poor and not eating because you forget that it's there. Now, just a couple of quick instructions before we try to have some testimonies. We've used this term before. It's really, really, really like, it's an acronym, okay? And the term for testimonies are beep. Everybody say beep. 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 Okay. I want your testimony to be brief, encouraging, edifying, and positive. Now, why do I say beef? Why do I say brief? Why do I say brief? It doesn't have to be under a minute, although I was watching Bethel the other day, and somebody was up, and he was telling them under a minute, under a minute, under a minute. Nobody paid any attention, but under a minute, under a minute. I'm not going to cut you off if you're not under a minute, but the goal is not to tell us every detail, because sometimes we get lost in the detail. And we can't, like... And then my Aunt Gracie called and she said, you know what? And I was like, well, no, Aunt Gracie, I'm in the middle of this right here. And then so-and-so knocked on the door. You know, that was really an inconvenient time. And I just, you know... Okay. Brief. We used to say, by the way, brief, encouraging, edifying, and powerful. But I've realized that sometimes when we look to powerful, we look to somebody else's testimony because we don't understand how valuable ours is because they raised the dead and all we did was cut somebody's hangnail off their toe. And yes, they're walking better, but this guy's raised from the dead. You know, that hangnail thing, that wasn't much. I mean, it wasn't even supernatural. I just happened to have clippers in my purse and now they're walking better. You know, sometimes we just need to be positive. God did something good. It's worth celebrating. It's part of your ministry. So we say brief, encouraging, edifying, and positive. And remember, encouraging is, you know, just giving them courage, helping them, and then edifying it, building them up. It doesn't have to be spectacular, supernatural, beyond anybody's imagination. Sometimes it's just good that you realize you were ministering when you were ministering. Does that make sense? Good. And let me remind you, Elijah experienced a mighty wind, and then he experienced an earthquake, and then he experienced a fire. And the scripture in that passage from 1 Kings 19 says, God wasn't in the earthquake. He wasn't in the mighty wind. He wasn't in the fire. And then a still, small voice. And that's where God was at. The little thing turned out to be where the presence of God was at. And speaking of wind, don't preach. If you get up to give your testimony, don't preach. If I ask for testimonies, I'm asking for testimonies. I'm not asking for preaching. I'm not against you preaching. How many of you have noticed I let people preach up here other than me? All right. You got something you want to share? Warn me ahead of time if you can a little bit. Now, that's not to, you know, stop people from getting up and prophesying or sharing something God put on their heart. Of course we want that. But, you know, let's recognize the moment. I preached a little while now this morning. If I ask for some testimonies right now, how many of you know they might need to be beep? It might be better if we had a bunch of short ones. Although I've got one that I'm going to ask somebody to share, I think. And it's going to take them more than a minute. Let's see how I do here. But if you want to preach, let me know. I want you to. And let me say this too, be honoring. Your testimony shouldn't slam anybody but the devil. So if you have a testimony about the last election, watch yourself. Okay, take a chill pill. Be worshipful. The goal is to demonstrate the greatness of God. Now, that being said, it says that we will cast our crowns before him. It says that we will share our glory with him. We will give our glory to him. If you have no glory to give to him, you can't glorify him. So it's okay if people think, wow, that was pretty cool. You know, Tom shared some pretty cool testimonies about talking to people in the Middle East and helping them get closer to the Lord. I think that's pretty cool. That's amazing to me. I don't get opportunities to do that a lot. He gets a lot of opportunities to do that because of the business he's in, and he takes advantage of those opportunities. And I believe that we ought to be, you know, hey, way to go. You know, we ought to feel good about that. But at the same time, he gives glory to God when he gets up and shares those things, right? You have to have glory to give glory. How hard is that to understand? Well, I'm just a dirt bag, you know. That's not. Listen carefully to two more verses. John 1, verses 19 and 20. Now this is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." That was John the Baptist. Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 through 33. Therefore, whoever confesses me, this is Jesus speaking, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Confession is the expression of the testimony. Let me say that again. Confession is the expression of the testimony. Testimonies aren't very handy if they're never expressed. And yes, I do want you to make lists. And yes, it would be good for you to remember every testimony of everything that God's ever done for you. And you'll miss a bunch. When you get to heaven, you'll see what he did for you that you didn't even know he did for you. But if you keep the testimony, that's a good thing. But confession is the expression of the testimony. If you don't confess it, you're not giving glory to God. That means, oh, here we go. You gotta tell somebody. Sorry, I know for some of you that's a real pain. You mean I gotta actually say it out loud? Yes, you do. You really need to say it. Practice saying it in your own room, just out loud to yourself. That'd be a good start. And then when the opportunity arises and you remember what God's done for you and they need to hear it, you gotta say it. Now, that's gonna be tricky. I'm a normal guy like the rest of you. Well, some of you are normal gals. But anyway, I'm a normal person like the rest of you. And there are times when I walk away thinking, oh, I wish I'd have said that. Anybody besides me ever do that? No one. A couple of you are nodding. Okay. Yeah, we all do that, right? Oh, I wish I'd have said that. Okay. The more we get used to saying what he has done for us, the more powerful we become in our ministry to minister what God has done to help encourage, edify, build up others. Does this make sense to anybody but me? By the way, you're in trouble this year because I don't know if I'm ever going to stop talking about your ministry. Your ministry is important. You are not still here to sit here and consume good food. Go on vacations. All you retirement age people. I'm going to get worse and worse as I get older. I can talk about it because I'm old now. I'm on Social Security. I am, by the way. Started collecting it. Gives me more money to give. We are here to do a ministry. And as long as I'm breathing, I have a ministry. I've had a lot of people in their final days, laying in bed, why am I still here? Man, honey, if I do that, slap me. Just slap me really good. Shut up. You preached all your life not to do that. Don't do that now. I'm sorry. You're still here because God has something for you to do. Do it. Do it. Figure it out. Once he wants, you still got testimony. Write down all you really, really old people. I'm so close to that. It's not even funny. You need to write down all the good things that God has done for you over the years and then start making sure your kids have copies. Got all your bank accounts in order and everything else. Well, good for you. Give them something that's a real important heritage. Am I making sense today? Okay, I'm going a little long, but it's worth it. I'm almost done. So when we don't express our testimonies, we are in the unenviable position of denying Christ. What? Yeah. I know that that may make some of you uncomfortable, and I know that some people are very uncomfortable, and they don't feel like they can stand up in front of the whole church. I can't get in front of my heart beats, you know, my pulse. I can't do this. Look, if you can't do it here, everybody here loves you. If you can't do it here, you're going to have a real hard time doing it out there in your ministry. This is yes right here. It goes up and down. And here, right here, is the best place to practice and overcome the fear that can rob us from the blessing that God wants us to experience. And even that unimportant, little, tiny, insignificant testimony might just be the final nudge that someone needs to push them into eternity and to glorifying God with something that is way bigger than your little tiny thing. And yet that's the last little thing that brings the breakthrough. I don't want to get to heaven and realize that something I could have said in my testimony, giving glory to God, was the missing piece that kept someone from something they needed from God. And let me just say last, if you've had God do something for you before and you haven't told it in a while, or even if you told it yesterday, sometimes it's worth telling again. Sometimes we need to hear those things again. For centuries, Israel kept testimonies of all that God did, repeating the stories to their children over and over and over and over and over. And those became what they needed when their destiny came to a point of needing a victory. So, who has a testimony? Now, looking at the time, let's try for four. Let's try for four. Because now you can all say, yeah, they got there before me. I really had one today. But I want someone to give a testimony. I hate to put people on the spot, but I've just been feeling this. I was praying about it last night. And a lot of you don't know this testimony. There are a lot of people in this room who haven't heard this testimony because they haven't been around long enough to hear this testimony. So I was just thinking, Corey, come tell him what happened to you. Maybe your husband needs to come with you. Yes, he needs to come with you. I see that. He's in a boot. Never mind.
You got this.
he's encouraging from a distance, but yeah. I'm thinking about the accident thing, but you can tell whatever one you want. You've got so many good ones.
It's really funny because just a few nights ago, I was sharing what happened with somebody that I met recently. I'm in a show, and she has to wear a neck brace. And I made a comment. I was like, oh, yeah. And she goes, oh, what happened? And I got to share with her. It was about almost 11 years ago. Me and my girls were headed home. Actually, it was after church on a Sunday. What? Almost 12 years ago.
If you're going to fix it, you got to come up.
I know, just saying. Right? And we were just driving home on the highway, and there was a truck. And all I really remember leading up to it is that the truck didn't stop, and the truck pulled right in front of me, and I hit him. And he, unfortunately, was ejected, and he didn't survive. But Claire was life-flighted, and Mallory had some injuries, but I had broken lots of bones, specifically my neck. I broke my C2.
And, hangman's vertebrae, by the way. Yeah. When you break your C2, you're normally dead.
Yeah, they call it the hangman's break. Yeah. It's the bone that breaks when you get hung. And so I broke it and had a lot of other broken bones, but that was obviously the most severe. And I ended up they put me in a halo. The choice was a halo for 3 months or a hard collar for a year. And my sister and Cord decided that the halo would be the better option. So I wore a halo for 3 months. I called it my own little prison. It was like a birdcage. It was horrible. Don't recommend it. But did that for 3 months, and then I wore a hard collar for several months. But I didn't have any paralysis. I didn't have anything. I say he can probably tell better because
he just had a little foot thingy.
But, yeah. But I was telling my friend this week, and I was like, oh, neck collars, I just don't like them. And she was like, you're a miracle. And I said, yeah. And she goes, no, really, you are a miracle. So yeah. You shouldn't be here.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
She was headed west, and the truck came from the south and didn't yield. Coming east in two separate vehicles were two different pediatric ER nurses. Pulling up to the intersection, who saw the accident was a gentleman who is an EMT from Hicksville. He called the life flight himself. Fireman and EMT. Not supposed to be able to do that. Following the accident was, it's been 12 years. Anyway, someone else very qualified to stop. So within seconds, all of these people were right there. That's God.
That was God. And Cord had a vision of it later, and there were a lot of angels around and a lot of stuff happening, and she should have been dead. And God saved her life. And all these years later, I mean, really, no residual crap from it. I mean, there was a bust in your knee a little bit. Oh, well, we're getting to pray for that. But, you know, I mean, she had a knee and an elbow or something on her arm. Yeah, she was, it was nasty. What was that?
The chief was going through the checklist.
All right. See how good that is to know? Some of you never knew that. And that's worth repeating once in a while. So real quick, three more. Beep. Who can do three? Three more, real quick. This is worth a share. Come on, two more.
Okay. The pastor had given me a word, Brady Bunch, and he brought it up. He wasn't understanding it.
Now, that was a weird word. I mean, it's after prayer on Wednesday night, and I looked at her, and the Lord said, Brady Bunch, and I thought, what?
Okay, and I looked at him and I said, oh, I hated that show.
Yeah. Really encouraged.
Later, God said, do you remember why you hated that show? Because everybody was happy. It just didn't seem real. But what the pastor had shared, it was that the Holy Spirit was going to move in my life and bring many in. The very next day, I've been working, a lot of you don't know, to get my niece and nephew out of foster care. But the next day, I got a call, get the beds ready. You will have them.
Yeah, God added to her family. Who knew?
And then I got to talk with a friend on the phone through this same situation. She understands. She's going through problems. But the Holy Spirit led me to lead her to, you can be thankful. Just look outside. You can start talking to the sky and say, hey, God, you painted me a beautiful sky today. And she goes, you're just breaking my heart. That's the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, amen. Amen. Good, good, good. Come on. Come on. Two more. One more after Joel. Okay, one more. Now it's done. Whew. Now you can go around and say, man, I had such a good one too. He didn't have anything today. Wow. You just tell everybody that on the way out. All right.
So I know most of you know, but when we were pregnant with Trinity, we went in for her 20-week ultrasound and found out that she had a hole in her heart. We were going back and forth from Toledo, and Cord and Corey prayed for us. And I just had this peace. She was going to be fine. But we were told we needed to have her in Toledo, or they were going to take her from me. And I was like, that ain't happening. So we went to Toledo, and they did a scan, and they could not find the hole. It was gone.
Yay, God. Yay, God.
I just want to give praise to God and to thank you for the worship team, those that are willing to get up here every Sunday, give all that they have. They have truly shown me what it means to worship God. When my wife and I first came here, we both thought, man, these people sure like to sing a lot. But when you're not right with God, you can't worship him in spirit and in truth.
All right. All right. I'll take it. And did you catch that, you know, how each one of those testimonies had an element of ministry connected to it, didn't it? An element of ministry connected to it. You see how important that is to your ministry? So stand up. Stand up. We're going to end this message today just having you minister to one another. So go find somebody, just get somebody close. You don't have to go very far. Doesn't have to be big crowds. Although if you want to make a group, that's okay. Get next to somebody. I want you to just touch someone, put your hand on their shoulder or hold their hand or whatever works out best. And yeah. You don't have to get real loud on this, although if you want to, go ahead. I just want you to take a few seconds. Close your eyes and just know who you're holding on to here, but close your eyes and just pray for them a second. You don't have to pray super loud, or you don't have to pray loud at all, or you can get really loud if you want to, but just begin to pray right now. Holy Spirit, we just ask you to just let our prayers go up before you for these that are with us as we minister to them, as we expect for them great things. We just ask you as we speak these things before you, God, that you would just touch them powerfully, make a difference. Let us be part of your ministry to them today. Let your strength and power go into them. Let your goodness be seen by them. May everything that you do, Lord, and everything that you say just be powerfully, powerfully absorbed by them so that they can become everything that you created them to be. So thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Now let me pray. Lord Jesus, I just pray that as we've prayed for each other and ministry has been released, that there will be testimonies out of this, that we will see your goodness, that there will be testimonies out of the message on testimonies, that we will find ourselves this week with opportunities to say, you know what God did for me, to somebody who needs to hear it, that we will realize, Lord, that our ministry is so important because we will have opportunities that we can't call Pastor Tim, Lord, and get him to come and do it. It's going to be that moment, and it's going to be that moment that transforms everything. It's going to be that moment that changes the atmosphere and causes something to happen. And so, Lord, we thank you for the privilege and the joy and the happiness that we can get from being active in the ministry you have given to each one of us. And we give you praise. Now, send us forth, Lord. Send us forth. Help us to see ourselves sent forth wherever we go today. May we find ourselves very much involved in what you want us to do. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.